Hare Krishna. Welcome everybody. And my happiness knows no bound to see all of you together for a meeting where we have time for our relationship. It's a little bit formal because each one of us has an individual relationship and I will address you as a group. Some total of disciples. I think I have some inspiring and good news to share and thought-provoking news as well, so it will be something. I always see this as a great opportunity for all of us to give our relationship a place in which we can also decide where we stand as individuals in relationship to our spiritual master. Therefore, I think it's important, and I want to greet all of you, that is the majority, who are seeing this in the internet. I'm very happy that you view us. I will mostly focus on this group, but from time to time I might look directly through the computer in your eyes. in this way try to also address you and your questions. Thank you so much for coming from different parts of the world. Although we are a small group here, by numbers, I think we are, by having this festival, reaching out to the many disciples who will hear the recordings. And nowadays, the persons who look in the virtual world, the world represented through mediums like computers and cameras and recordings, that group is just very, very large, and I am very happy because so many are often expressing their desire to be here. There are two of us who got a free ticket from Emirates just for their second initiation. Yeah, the Emirates donated them a flight from New Zealand to Germany and back, just for their initiation. So that's a good and auspicious sign that even airlines cooperate with spiritual quests or searches. So I will speak a little bit on three subjects. I will talk on what totally inspires me as a devotee of Krishna in my own spiritual life, something which I really wish to share with you. Then I would like to speak about specifically about our relationship as guru and disciple. And finally, I like to address, let me see, here a few practical things like books who have appeared, CDs, projects. I want to say a big thank for something which you will hear in a moment or when we come to the time. Good, so thank you all very much that you came and you responded to our invitation to again meet in Zagreb. And yeah, I also want to encourage all of you who only have a few more hours their old name, at least the old name by which they go in the community of devotees. I think I will address you all who are taking initiation with some specific messages. So, I have some notes, but I decide to do such personal talks a little bit spontaneously. So let us see what will come out of from my heart to your heart in the process of engaging in in such a disciple meeting. Hare Krishna. Come on. We know how time. It's like marriage. I'm marrying Madan Mohan. I'm really joking. I'm just referring to the exchange of flower garlands, you know, not more. You have to be sometimes very clear in these in these specific times. Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
Yasodhanandana Vraja Janadanjana
Unati Ramanachani. Yamunati Ramanachani. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Kirtan, you do bhakti. Now, for an activity to qualify as bhakti, there need to be three things. First, you need to do the activity. Second, you need to do it for Krishna. It's very important. You need to relate what you do to Krishna. And then, the third qualification so that an activity becomes bhakti is you need to do that in a favorable mood, in a mood of devotion, for instance, or in a mood of prayer, something which is endearing to Krishna. So an activity that is singing for Krishna in a way that you purposefully try to please Krishna with your singing in this case, that makes it a bhakti activity. So please, with this awareness, sing for Krishna in a favorable mood. And please sing now. Hare Krishna. please sing again. Hare Krishna. Nittai, Gaura Nittai, Gaura Nittai, Gaura Nittai. Vihare Radha, Kanya Vihare Radha. Jaya Radha, Kanaya Lala Radha, Kanaya Lala Radha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sadaswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskajare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before starting, I would like to again express my profound gratitude. We will have some very interesting subject matters. Now, in order to run this meeting very nicely, one position is still empty. You are there, the deities are there, Srila Prabhupada is there, and your servant is here, but there is not yet a servant of the group, the servant of the meeting. I think if we can ask Ishvara Puri to maybe be there in that area, and when you see devotees need something, for instance, an information where the children can play during this time, or when you see that there is also a need of fresh air because some heads are going at the wrong time to the ground. Or if you see some are need a glass of water or anything, you are like aware, and you have to use the best of your intelligence to do this. It's a very responsible job to see that everyone has everything they need, especially a concentrated atmosphere. Some devotees may also not know how to work the door and bang it repeatedly. Then you can carefully, you know, take care that the door is properly used and all these very common sense activities. Good. If there is one thing which I'm really eager to share with you, it is a discovery from the scripture, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which I became aware of just very recently, And I've been telling it everywhere where I go. I've even told it here before many of you were there. And I wish to repeat it. Very often, as we grow older, we ask ourselves, really, what is the essence of Krishna consciousness? And the answer to this question is pure or unmixed bhakti. Now, when we hear that pure bhakti, or unalloyed, as Prabhupada says, that unalloyed devotion, unalloyed bhakti, the essence of Krishna consciousness, we sometimes become discouraged because we notice that we are not pure. But when we speak of pure bhakti, or let us say unalloyed bhakti, we refer to the purity in relationship to bhakti, not in relationship to us, the performer of bhakti. That is, makes a huge difference. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his verse, you all know it, Anya bilashita shunyam jnana kamadyana vritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uchati te. An activity which is done for Krishna in the favorable mood to please him, and which is free from mixtures like karma, selfish desire, and jnana, the desire for liberation. That qualifies as pure bhakti. I know this was a long sentence, so let us compress this sentence for easier comprehension. If you do something for Krishna in the mood to please him and no other mood, then you have just now done an activity of unalloyed bhakti. It is unmixed. There is no other addition to this. That means that even if a neighbor comes to the temple and bring something to the altar of Gornitai with the express desire to please the Lord, and it is described his expansions, there are also the devotees are in that category, then he has performed an act of unalloyed bhakti. Although he himself, as the performer, is not pure. Because this is such a profound and encouraging point, we may want to hear about this not just from one scripture, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but from other scriptures as well. And therefore, I would love to read to you a text from Sanat Kumar Samhita. Soham yasharanam prapto mamatasya vadanti cha sarvam tabhyam tat artam hi tat bhogyam natu ye mama. The wise say, I surrender to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Whatever is mine is in truth their property. Everything is for their sake. Everything is meant for their enjoyment. It is not meant for me. Thus, I have described to you 5 ways to offer oneself to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. You should think of these ways day and night, and never become tired of thinking of them. You know what this means is, you, as a devotee who is either beginning his path or who is in the medium, in the middle of his path, or who has gone backwards on the path while he was on the middle of the path, wherever you are, you can focus yourself on this understanding that I do this now for Radha and Krishna. I give this to them. It's theirs. This is for their sake. Everything is for their enjoyment. It's not meant for me. If you have these types of affirmation while you do your service, this type of consciousness, this is now for you, Krishna. It is not meant for me. As long as you can stay on that platform, you have performed an act of pure bhakti. Now, it is obvious that not all of us are able to stay on that platform, but we return to other levels where we think again of our own interests and our own desires and plans. Then we leave, then we do not do pure bhakti. But for instance, we do something which we like to do and offer some of it at the end to Krishna. Then we have just done an activity which is technically called karma mishra bhakti. Bhakti which is also mixed with a desire to enjoy and so on. But if there is in our life an event, a moment maybe, a second, a millisecond of doing something just for the pleasure of Krishna, that is pure bhakti. And listen to this, it is eternal. It is not temporary. Even if when you die, this eternal thing, this eternal benefit will be with you. That fruit or that act where the neighbor came to the temple, not knowing much about Sambandha and Abhideya and Prayojana Tattva, and offered this, thinking this is for God, you know, I offer this to them to on the altar. That was a pure bhakti and it will never ever be forgotten by Krishna. Everything else goes, but the acts of pure bhakti, the moments of pure bhakti stay, and as they accumulate, our bhakti konto grows. Even, my dear devotees, sometimes Krishna is so pleased by a moment of bhakti that he is willing to forget everything else, means our mistakes and so on, and just see that. And he is pleased to offer his devotees a transcendental fruit beyond his boldest imagination. Bhakti is such a nice thing because it is accessible to everyone. Everyone can do it. I remember a story which my godbrothers who were there like to tell again and again and again because it's so moving. It was, Prabhupada gave a lecture in the, please help me, this first temple on 26th, 2nd Avenue in New York. And while he was talking, a disheveled drunken man entered the room, went almost violently, pushing his way through the audience, and went to the toilet. He looked around, came out of the toilet, and disappeared into the night of New York. The next day he was back, his arms full of toilet paper. And he, you know, he had visited or you know, observed the toilet. I don't know what his purpose was in the initial visit. And he had said, toilet paper is missing. And he came with an armful of first-class toilet paper. And he brought that and stacked it in the room. Prabhupada said, his eternal spiritual life has begun. He, by the way, didn't discourage him that we have another way of cleanliness, a much more effective way. Paper is muti. No, he encouraged the service of that person, knowing that this was something which was done with the intention to please the devotees. He never came back. In other words, he didn't have the idea, I will use that room for my hygienic activities. No, no. It was a purely selfless offering. It was unmixed with karma and jnana. It was therefore a pure act of pure bhakti. My dear devotees, I can only recommend you to please ponder about this. And while you're here on the festival, immediately start to engage in unalloyed bhakti, an unalloyed devotional service. When you do your kirtan, tune yourself in. Do it just for the pleasure of Krishna. When you are interacting with the devotees, do this to serve the devotees, and you do an eternal activity, an activity meant to please Krishna. I would like to go from here, from this fundamental truth of bhakti, to the universality of bhakti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an interesting history of the bhakti rasa in the world. He studied that the oldest emergence of bhakta, of bhakti, is in old times when people became disenchanted with the sacrifices of the Vedas and wanted to detach from the world. You know, these the Vedic scriptures give karma activities and a lot of rituals for one's own betterment. And people became tired with this, you know, always to do something to get something better. They developed an interest in bhakti. And because of the preaching of the four Kumaras, they developed what is called Shantarasa, a neutral relationship to Krishna, an admiring relationship of Krishna. Later, when Hanuman appeared, that is long, long ago, the great devotee of Ram, the Dasya Rasa, that is bhakti performed in the mood of servitude, became established, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, expanded to the northwest. Moses picked that up. Moses is an Old Testament figure, one of the great forefathers, so to say, great, yeah. And he preached service to God, which then came into the Christian religion as Dasya Rasa, bhakti, where you would worship God. Then it went to Uddhava and Arjuna, later devotees of Krishna, and expanded up to the Arabian countries where it touched the heart of Muhammad. So Dasya Bhakti, performed in the Dasya Rasa, made its entry into the world through this historic line. But then people developed another understanding of religion that Bhaktivinoda Thakur now will speak about. Jesus, who transcended in many ways the teachings of the Old Testament, and he introduced a type of Vatsalya Rasa mixed with opulences, that now he said we should worship the Lord as our Father, not just as the Master who receives our service, but as the Father. Oh God, Father in heavens. You know, so that is Vatsalya, that is bhakti mixed with Vatsalya Rasa. But people wanted to go further. They were not satisfied with this. And they are hankering still for Madhurya Rasa, seeing God as a lover. It appeared here and there in religious scriptures, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is a lover of Braj Krishna, says it never reached its full blossom. The secret of Madhurya Rasa is still to be preached around the world by the followers of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I wanted to go with you in a very thought-provoking area, that the consciousness of people towards God and the consciousness of the religious change. They go forward. Spiritual needs have to be recognized on that journey and fulfilled in a relationship with God. I don't want to repeat in great detail something, because all of you want to hear something about our society, ISKCON, and our relationship. So I will make it brief. I have been just talking with some devotees about something which I studied lately, that is how the consciousness of people towards religion and towards each other and towards the world changed over the years. There was, for instance, it started all when people were, that's how the people say, what I say now is, I don't take into account the Vedic teachings, but I'm speaking of the consciousness of modern men, and all of them are not Hare Krishnas, as you know. So I'm talking about their journey in their consciousness. In the beginning, the status of consciousness, people had a more mythic understanding of religion. They thought God is there in the flesh, in the unexplainable phenomena of nature. Then they began to seek for ways how to communicate with God, and developed practices, rituals, ceremonies, and they worshipped in groups. By the way, these levels of consciousness which we can see are not that one level stops and another starts. They are interchangeable. No? And then people desired at a certain time a very highly organized forms of religions, where they built up churches and religious institutions, and they had the understanding that everyone else who was not in that group and church was basically demoniac. The old Pope Benedict was severely criticized, because in the Catholic Church there is a prayer for the Jews, you know, poor Jews, when will you reform and become a Catholic? And modern people don't like this. He had to really explain why he said it, and he changed the prayer a little bit, but he couldn't save his face. Because modern people seek for their religion's experience outside of the control of strict institutions who work by the principle, if you are in here, you are good, if you are out here, you are bad. They don't like this. They want to feel the truth of religion in all religions. They are liking interreligious dialogue, and they want to network with the world community and celebrate with the world community God. That is a natural development. Now, you know, all these, some religious understandings have really died. Baal and his worship has died. Moloch and his worship has died. Re and his worship has died. And so has the worship of Jupiter, Zeus, Mithras, and Mars died. in Christianity, they begin to discuss that also the concept of God as preached by a very institutional form of religion, the Catholic Church, is no longer in. And some say that's why the Pope Benedict, he was a German, had to step back and resign, because it was just not relevant. They had 9 million paying Christians, and in the if they continue, it becomes less. Now they only have 2 million Christians paying the church tax. You know, there's a huge financial loss. The message is no longer interesting for them. Why do I say this? Where do I want to go? I will be crystal clear. Don't worry. I just want to take you on a little journey, and so on. What I want to say is, an ancient knowledge, the understanding of God, is always dependent on the one who tries to understand him. Whatever is received from God's grace is received according to the way of the receiver. It's just like I have water here, and I have this cup here with me. It is a very good cup. It was given to me by Dr. Sebastian. And the water which I fill in here takes the form of the receiver. For someone else, he brings another cup, maybe a glass, and the water which I fill in there is then going into another shape. Some people understand God to be the universal form. You know, they see God in the phenomena of nature. They see the days and nights as the opening and closing of Krishna's eyelids. Some see him who have more another relationship as the impersonal Brahman, yet others as Paramatma, and still others as the flute-playing Krishna. It is natural. It is always has always been like this. It will be like this. In ISKCON, as a small little community within the world community of those who try to make a relationship with the Lord, we also have changed our views about the Lord and how to practice getting into relationships with him. There are devotees who have carefully analyzed the views in ISKCON. For instance, I came from a time that where most of you would have been called fringes. That was an offending statement. Someone who was not living in a temple was clearly a borderline devotee, on the edge or on the fringe, and was not qualified for bhakti. Before that, we had an even more harsher and limiting understanding that those who would leave the temple, they would automatically bloop. Bloop is a word from the hippie jargon in America. You know, when you put a stone and throw it into the ocean, it makes bloop, and he's gone. So a devotee who leaves the temple enters again the ocean of samsara and is gone. I hope you don't laugh just about what I say. These are examples for something which will hit you in a second. My dear devotees, now we think differently. I remember in Zagreb, I don't want to say the name, First, the understanding was only those who lived in the temple, they were the real devotees. Then came the congregational Namhatta preaching, and the Namhatta preacher said, only those who are living in the congregation are the real devotees. The temple devotees are in Maya. Hare Krishna. Why did the thoughts come out like this? It was a certain consciousness in which the pure Krishna consciousness was digested and was translated into understandings. Our movement is always moving forward as the maturity of the inhabitants in the movement move forward. At this moment, Braj Krishna, the playful god of Vrindavan, is a thought which occupies the mind of few in our movement. Many of us have the concept born from their Christianity tradition, and they choose other forms of relating to the Lord. For instance, the Lord of the Bhagavad Gita, who is omnipresent and omnipotent. No? We are always moving, and so am I moving. I will now come to Sachinandan Swami today. Some of my disciples have been frustrated when they found out that I changed and I was no longer in the same picture which they had of me when I was 10 years ago. I have always thought in my life, my spiritual life is a journey of maturation. While keeping the essence of Krishna consciousness, that is bhakti, intact in my life in service to my spiritual master and the devotees, as the maturity happens and the process works in the heart, new understandings come. For instance, 10 years or 15 years ago, my understanding of the holy name, chanting the holy name as the prime sadhana, the greatest necessity, became such an overwhelming force in my life that I began to chant many, many rounds in holy places. I felt so much inspired, although I'm really a runaway from school and cannot really express myself very nicely, that nevertheless I took a pen in my hand, which was not experienced in writing at all. 15 years, I was a child and I ran away from school. And tried to read books because I wanted to share this realization, which I didn't have before, with the world. Also, what grew in me and was the understanding that there is a home of God which belongs to Him in this world. It's Vrindavan Dham, and He is still there. And the understanding to visit Him at least once a year in His earthly home took a lot of possession of my intelligence, although from my cultural upbringing, India is always India. I would say it only like this, the Indian factor. It's not easy. I don't like in Vrindavan so much the Indian culture or the Indianness, but I like that Krishna is so close in Vrindavan. Other realization have come. My relationship to my home, ISKCON. I remain throughout a strong supporter of an institution, knowing very well that our efforts in the West must be carried by some organization and organizational structure. But I remain one of those who thinks that an office is an office and not more. An office should serve what you want to do. No one should serve an office for its own sake. that has made me sometimes highly unpopular, and especially amongst devotees who have not cared to really understand my position very, very in great detail. By saying this, I'm not against institutions. I'm just saying that the spiritual life of an individual must develop in a personal relationship to Krishna. That is maybe the easiest way. I know that I will be misquoted here. Only one sentence will be put on internet, and the world will. But this is human life. It is all right. Humans will be humans. What I said before will not be quoted, and what I say afterwards will not be quoted. But that happens to everyone in life. No? I like this idea that ISKCON has three dimensions: an institution, an office which deals with the preaching activity. It has another story, that is the sadhana, the spiritual practice which is revealed by an incarnation of God, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it has even another dimension, that is an ongoing place where the Lord appears in the hearts of his devotees. Because I'm not a manager, I do not stay long in the office part of ISKCON with my thought, but I remain a strong supporter of the office, knowing that it is necessary to organize temples, a worldwide preaching movement, the printing of books, and now the construction of a temple which was prophesied by Lord Nityananda, the Adbhuta Mandir in Mayapur, which will hold at one time, imagine, 10,000 devotees chanting the holy name together. 10,000 at one time. For this you need a worldwide institution to do this. I'm also convinced that in our preaching, that is in our outreach, it is important to see what do people need. What are the messages which we give them now, where they have changed in their understanding, where their consciousness, as I detailed earlier, has moved. What do we need to do? How do we need to present the teachings of Srila Prabhupada in a way that they can be accepted by modern men and fulfill their needs? For that end, I believe that networking is an important part of preaching. For instance, I support the Yoga Expo, where others come, bring their audiences, other yoga instructors and so on, bring their audiences. Then I think it's good if we present kirtan in our own way, and so on, and their audience can listen to us and decide what they want to take and how they want to become devotees. I think this is good, but I have been criticized to support Mayavadis with this because these devotees, who are wonderful devotees and concerned for the welfare, have not endeavored to really understand what is the ideas behind this. It's not to give up our identity, it's not to support Mayavadis, but it is to carry our message to the followers of every one of Mayavadis. No? I have thought also about the position of ladies. I don't think ladies are dangerous in themselves, as I was thinking 20 years ago. I think they are also good devotees. What is dangerous is our own attachments, and this danger needs to be addressed. I think everyone should be engaged in their position. In this way, there are many, many things which as I'm going through my life has changed in myself. And these are really, I consider them not so important because, as I told you, I like to be present in sadhana, in the level of spiritual practice, and on the level of the ongoing pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But because many of you are interested in these things and discuss about them with great interest and great personal involvement, I wanted to also speak about these things which might concern you or might intrigue your thinking and so on. In Australia, on the last tour, I met one devotee who came over as very fundamental. He had criticized many other devotees, and he had invited me to take prasadam with him, and I was very eager. Then I noticed he didn't eat sweets. I asked him, why don't you eat sweets? And he said, sweets are maya. I'm a brahmachari. It's only for sense gratification. It doesn't have any nutritional effect. I said, Hare Krishna. And I demonstratively ate marzipan. I didn't say anything because I believe in subtle communication. I later met the devotee, and he was in the kitchen, and he was talking to the cooks that they should not cook so many sweets, and he was really angry at them. I didn't say anything. I saw many things about this devotee, and what began to concern me is that he forced himself into something which was only a concept, which had nothing to do with bhakti. Bhakti is doing an activity for Krishna with a favorable or pleasing intent. Later I saw the devotee. I sometimes have to get up in the night because I drink a lot of water. And he was sitting there and he ate two of my marzipan sweets. secretly, and he felt bad when I saw him. And I said, no. Your body must want to eat this good preparation. It gives strength. You know, you can have more. And I have not even seen it. You can eat it in the night, but why not eat it during the day, you know, and in the forest maybe, if it's easier for you. But I was seeing that this devotee had replaced a concept of jnana, renunciation, with the concept of bhakti. In the process, his heart had become hard-hearted, and he had become a criticizer of Vaishnavas, intolerant of their ways, and had therefore suffered, I felt that was not necessary. I so much believe, my dear devotees, that it is necessary for us to inquire what is bhakti. It is necessary to strengthen our faith and our determination to engage in acts of bhakti. I believe that it is very necessary to worship the devotees and serve them. And I believe it is necessary to understand every day a little bit more about Krishna, to whom we want to please and to whom we want to go back. I think that is the essential thing. And it is important I feel that everyone is allowed to do that in our society, and that we leave a little bit of our judgments behind of each other. When someone is on his own path developing his relationship to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Was this all right? Or? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So I would appreciate if we have a few questions. I have some other topics here on the list, but maybe we make a little pause. Do you all have enough to breathe? I mean, is there enough oxygen, obviously? Akrura, would you be so kind to give us the most valuable very valuable gift of air? You can, I think this is now a good time to enter questions and answers, to enter the question and answer forum. Maybe you wish to directly ask questions regarding the subject. Maybe I would say, let us take one round of questions and then see where we are, and then we can broaden it to other subjects. I saw Kunya Bihari first, then I saw... someone was there before you, Amrita Kelly maybe, and Amrita Kelly, and then Sundarananda. These three in the beginning, and then we will see, maybe we will want to open the forum, because maybe you have come with particular questions which do not really relate to what I have tried to present in carefully chosen words. Then we can also ask these questions. So there was Kunya Bihari. Can you? We give him a microphone. Please speak out clearly. Mm-hmm.
I have a question about pure bhakti. And I like this very much what you presented. But I ask myself if there are more requirements to call something pure bhakti. For example, it is performed constantly.
Mm-hmm. Have you all understood Kunya Bihari's question? Well, Rupa Goswami wrote a book called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He is the acharya for the Abhideya Tattva in our line. I will just go, there are many brahmanas here, they will understand what I say by now. And he wanted to write this book to explain bhakti, the science of bhakti. He named his book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as you all know, the ocean of the nectar of rasas in bhakti. And he wrote a verse which is called the Paribhasita Sutra. It's a verse which explains the theme of the book. And he chose this verse with these requirements. And Anyabhilashita Shunya means free from other desires. And then he specifies what are the other desires. Jnana, Kama, Anavritam. Then... Anukulyena Krishna Anu Shilanam Bhakti Uchati. Bhakti Uchati, that is called bhakti, which is an activity which is free from other desires like the desires in jnana and karma, and which is now, this was a negative definition, now comes the positive definition, which is done, is an activity which is described as chesta. Activity means you make an endeavor, an effort, something, which you do. Sakrishnu, in Croatian language, for Krishna, with a favorable mood, anukulyena, with a desire to please. Like, for instance, I could give this lecture with the mood, I have to give the disciple meeting. Let me just talk something simple and uncomplicated and everything. But I could give it with a glowing yes, with a mood that I want to serve you, give you an understanding. So bhakti you do with a conscious endeavor like this. Now, of course, this is what pure bhakti is. Pure in the sense of unmixed. For instance, this is pure water now. Now, if I would do this, Konya Bihari, these are flower petals, and throw them into this, it would not be any longer pure water, it would be mixed water. For instance, I could put rose petals in it, then it would become something else, rose water. No? So, in this sense, pure bhakti, the three definitions are sufficing are enough to qualify an activity as pure bhakti. Obviously, you should perform bhakti uninterrupted, ideally, from morning till evening, to the night, every waking and sleeping hour of the day. How can you perform bhakti when you sleep, you might think? Well, you can think, I purposefully sleep to keep my body fit for service. Then this is called gona bhakti, means indirect bhakti, which is supporting the mukhya, the direct bhakti, which you will do during the day. So this is where we want to go to. There are verses, I'm thinking of the first canto, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnanayat Yasi Vairagyam Jnanam Charyat Ahaitukam. I'm thinking of something else. Yes. Yes. So we want, you have your Kindle here, your who has it that we want to hear the verse? Say Savai Pungsam, can you find, is it in your machine? There is a verse, so 1-2 something. One, two, six. It's coming. Our iPod pandas. Hopefully don't explode. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Here. Such devotional service must be unmotivated, that we heard already, and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. It's clear if you do only a little pure bhakti, then you, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, then you will become a little satisfied. It's like eating a little, then you will become a little nourished. But if you eat more, then you will be fully nourished. So, but still the activity of itself is pure bhakti, just like the potato is pure food, so to say, if you want. Now the wonderful thing, Konya Bihari, the very wonderful thing is, if you do pure bhakti, an activity of pure bhakti, it will naturally increase. We had a wonderful meeting in London with an initiative called Kirtan London. They have this mission statement or vision statement to create a London-wide community of Kirtan lovers. That's their vision. They do this in all types of circuits. London-wide community of Kirtan lovers. And we had a training meeting, and I repeated to them, just start to do Kirtan. And do it in the right way, you know. And then, because it's spiritual, it will spread like light in the darkness. Prabhupada said, was once asked, what comes from Kirtan? What is the result? And he said, more Kirtan. And it was not just a quick answer. It was a very deep answer that, yes, this will spread. So if you somehow enter this idea of pure bhakti, Konya Bihari, you will see your appetite arises. You will be more purified. And the tendency of the soul to do more of this is there so that ultimately you can do it. Can you please reawaken this? It has... it has gone to bed, it's dark there. Then you will do uninterrupted this thing so that you're very satisfied. Very nice definitions. It says, if you do such devotional service, Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, it's all about Bhakti Yoga, then what happens to you? You will acquire causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Knowledge doesn't come first. Detachment doesn't come first. Bhakti comes first. By doing this, by rendering devotional service, bhakti yoga, unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Prabhus, Matajis, and all the ocean of skeptics. This is such a wonderful information. It is hope-giving. It is typical Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said anyone is qualified, even the Shudra, even the Jaga and Madais. Nityananda, Nityananda, said to the to Jaga and Madai, chant Hare Krishna. He didn't say give up drinking alcohol first. You know, chant Hare Krishna. And later they became everything. I want to be clear. With these statements, I don't want to say we should not give up drinking alcohol. Of course, and you are not on the level where you drink alcohol. Don't go back to alcohol. Oh, I do pure bhakti. Everything is easy now. Pure bhakti ki jay. You know. No, that is not your level. Thank you very much. There was one Amrita Kelly. Can we give you the microphone? We're there. Yeah. Good. Then we can go to Sundarananda.
Thank you very much for a very inspiring presentation. It's when listening, I picked up two challenges. I like very much this practical explanation of your bhakti as the way it is Krishna. But it reminds me of something which I experienced recently. It seems that it requires the personal approach or faith that Krishna is real person who is there to be pleased. And for example, we have a special eating system and it requires some special dealings during the night that we have warmth in the morning and what. And I discovered that we usually think how to maintain warmth on the first and second floor, but the temporum is not so necessary because they're not there. But then I understood that Krishna is there and it's actually the most important part to be heated, actually. And it was very sad understanding. And I understood that it's for me it's a great challenge to act for Krishna's pleasure because I discovered by this that I don't have very often the faith or understanding or knowledge that Krishna is in the person. And that's one challenge in which I discovered. And another one is I like also this point when you said that that pure bhakti we are translating according to our consciousness, and you were explaining the point of office, what's the purpose of office, and I was thinking that how to stay responsible on every level of our maturing.
In the sense
of we are always translating according to our consciousness, but how to stay responsible to our soul and to everyone, to others, to with whom we are dealing like this.
Regarding your first question, what we can do is make like a simple heating, maybe for the altar room. So that is not so expensive because we are poor.
It's for free, actually.
It's for free, acha. Oh, then we should. It is something I think you will come to in the course of your understanding. See, you have come to this understanding. My God, I should give you also warmth. I know of one devotee who worshipped deities, a set of deities, and when it was night, he just went out of the room and did not think it is necessary to have light. You know, night means 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. The deities go to bed at 9 o'clock. The deities, the devotees, devotee had or something like this. So he consistently left the room where the deities were at around 6 o'clock when it became dark. And there was no light for the deities. They were in the darkness. Now this devotee had again and again nightmares. Ghosts just coming over him and strangling him and wanting to enter his body and all of these dramatic things. And finally he understood the deities are sending me a signal. Just like it's uncomfortable for me in the night and, you know, and so on. They want light. And he put a light in the room of the deity, oil lamp, from 6 to 9. And the nightmares went away. And he related the disappearance of nightmares and all these things, you know, directly to his service and to Krishna and understanding Krishna. And many of us get such signs, like you got the sign, a wake-up call, to be more personal with Krishna. It happens on different levels of devotional understanding and devotional service. Krishna is taking care that his devotees mature. I also, nowadays, I was also careless. I thought Krishna can see anything in the darkness, you know. It's like when you have a guest and you say, oh, we are a little short of money, you know, you can see everything in the night somehow, you know, candle and intuition, huh? And I also know that now that I never leave the room when there are deities without caring that there's light for them. I know because when I did, I also got a signal that this is not good. So Krishna takes care of us. Now, how to deal responsible on the other levels? I really believe in one thing. We need as devotees to practice compassionate empathy. Our Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that compassion or daya is the main dharma for Vaishnavas. So, I think it is our responsibility as we move through our life to keep everyone as much as possible encouraged in their spiritual work. The devotees who work in the office, the devotees who work in other places, because that is part of Vaishnava Seva. I think it is important to be responsible to also the management and the organization to help them because they do such an amazing service and amazing in the sense of, oh, it's not easy to manage the Hare Krishna movement. It's not easy because we are also free. But devotees do need encouragement and support in this. Mm-hmm. How to get this responsible feeling? Sundarananda ji, maturity. Only a person who matures can understand things which a person who was not mature could not understand. You know, when you're maturing, when a fruit matures, it becomes sweet, no? Before that, it remains sour. So it takes a time, and we have to allow people this time to mature in their life. How to mature? Yeah, this, the process of Krishna consciousness is for all for that. Thank you very much. Are there other questions regarding this? I see the Bastian's hand. I see one Mataji's hand.
Jasmine.
Sorry?
Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine. Jasmine, you are a guest to this meeting. It's a disciple meeting, so I will ask Mandaleshwari. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good. So, Sebastian? Can you speak in English, or is it difficult?
There is a conflict in me, because there is one person, and he's one of the main teachers in my spiritual life. I'm very grateful to him. And he teaches me one thing.
He teaches me one particular thing.
Yeah. Which I could not accept, but I could also not reject. And he teaches that certain kind of religious processes leads to different results. So that he explained that Bhakti tries to bring us back to flute playing Krishna, and other processes have other results. And he said it is dangerous to mix them. Because of this, especially in the beginning, you should not read other books and things like this. So, I don't know how to deal with this statement and what you told. You told something else. You said, okay, we are entering a new state of God consciousness, and it's important to have a relationship with the religion.
I want to make, thank you very much. This is a very, very nice question, because when I talked about the development in the society, means not ISKCON society, but outside society, I did not want to say that we have a similar development in our ISKCON society. I think that in our our ISKCON society changes also. And yes, in some aspects, it is definitely influenced by what's going out in the outside society. I have, for instance, seen when the outside society talked so much about the equal rights of men and women, we also adopted that. We are not living so isolated, and that's good, most probably, because sometimes some good ideas help us. But what I think in our Krishna consciousness, and maybe that's because I'm such a strong believer of the Bhagavad, I think all the levels of consciousness are already, I think I have found at least everything, all the levels explained there in the different understandings of God. There's not just one understanding for everyone. There, the Paramatma for the yogis, the Brahman for the jnanis, you know, different demigods for all the karmis, those who practice karma. Everything is already taken in account. But those who want Madhurya Rasa, they will go a very high relationship, a very intimate relationship, the most intimate relationship, in fact, to God. They will find Braj Krishna. That was something. But what I wanted to explain that ISKCON's concepts, and these are more the, let me say, changeable cultural, social concept of ISKCON. They very much have changed, and they very much will change. And I wanted to give an illustration of a few illustrations of that. Now, coming to your question about not mixing different processes, that I think is a very good instruction, because when you want to get somewhere, you have to go with one route. You can't just go to another route which has other goals, you know. I have learned this from the wonderful car of Deepak and Preeti. They have a car which leads you everywhere if you just ask it. GPS in normal language. And you know, when you type in one goal, then it gives you the route. It may give you alternative routes, but they still are in alignment with the goal and so on. And it doesn't help you if you go by this route and then all of a sudden you go a total other route which brings you to another goal. So therefore it does not help to practice to do different, to mix different things. However, and here we get a little bit, there are things which are called Gona Bhakti, Mukhya Bhakti, that is direct devotional service, like chanting in with devotees and ecstasy, even if it's loud. Reading the Bhagavatam, and even if you are not up to it, but doing things which you do for Krishna. Visiting holy dhams, worshipping the deities, doing sadhu sangha and doing service for devotees. They are direct ways, and then there are other things which help it. I have prepared a gift for all of you. I've written a book for you. Yes, only for you. I said a cultured man gives presents on his birthday, and I have carefully worked on a novel which is very interesting. It is with a lot of action. It is called Broken Names. And if everything works out, it will be available. I know it's at the moment in the printing press. I can smell it already from here. And there this question is a little bit discussed when it said that, for instance, doing yoga is not a direct activity of bhakti, but when you do yoga so that you can sit for longer times and chant, then this becomes a supportive activity. In other words, you're not mixing something in the bhakti, but you are supporting your bhakti with some, it's called gona bhakti, indirect bhakti. I was so enthusiastic to say what I wanted to say that I don't. Ja, habe ich deine Frage? Did I answer your question? So ein bisschen in der Nähe der Frage, auf alle Fälle. Nicht ganz mit Wert geschossen. Good. Any other questions? It's so nice to see you. Mandaleshwari had a, yes, Mandaleshwari, please ask your question.
I have a question. Actually, I have four questions, but.
Yes.
So I'll give you the first
four questions you have. Why only four?
Okay. My first question is that about the home deities. I have my gave deities, and I used to do like this, and I'm worshipping them, so giving them something to eat, and then doing the puja, and then they are open, okay, so the altar is open in the inner room, and yeah, we are living with them. But once one year the devotee comes and told to me that, don't feel so familiar with the deities, close to the altar, because during the day you do talk with the manjari and maybe chastise her and whatever. He's a Christian, your altar, you know. I think, oh, such a bad. And I'm used to, after doing service, I close the, but I feel so bad.
That he's closed all day,
yes,
the darkness.
The house is so empty, you know. And I'm so totally confused. What should I do?
What should I do? I'm not so expert in these details, but it seems to me that the devotee gave a valuable advice for the temple deities. But he might not have considered that these are home deities in enough detail, and what that means. Home. Obviously, I feel we should draw the curtain when there are things which Krishna shouldn't see. For instance, when you when you dress, you know, and things like this. I have to be very clear here. I think that's normal. But I'm saying there may be something else. I can't think of anything else at the moment. But otherwise, you see, out of a respectful attitude. Another question. Well, let us see if others have, but yeah, maybe we should go. Yes, Philippe.
Could you tell me why in our society established by Srila Prabhupada there is obvious emphasis on japa than on kirtan? He says, Mahaprabhu came to preach Harinam Sankirtan group, congregational chanting, loud chanting, and we all are more concerned about our private rounds than.
Yeah, and we promise 16 rounds, not 2 hours of kirtan a day, for instance. Yeah. No, it's a good question. I have thought about this for a long time and discussed it because it's one of my services to give japa and kirtan retreats. And I have noted, for instance, that the children of our society, the gurukulis, love kirtan, but they chant hardly rounds. Their affection for rounds is very minimal. I have noted. The way I understand it, that the way we are trained in japa is a type of kirtan. Why? Because japa is, the instructions on japa is lagu uchate, means Rupa Goswami describes it as something said very softly. And it is even said in the scriptures that mental japa is the best. There are statements like this. Mental means in your mind. And most of the japa, repetition of mantra, is done meditatively. It's a part of dhyana or meditation. But the way we are instructed to do japa is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which is a form of glorification if you do it properly. Glorification means kirtan. Glorification means, you know, if I want to glorify you and I go... That is meditation. That is not glorification. I would say, Philippe, your picture is so good that it went on the cover of Broken Names. You know, I would say something in glorification. You know, so we are saying something to Krishna, and that has been in the Japa retreat, both Bhurijan Prabhu's and my constant effort to tell the devotees, you have to do that. Glorifying Krishna, you have to connect it with Krishna. It has to be kirtan sambandha or japa, in doing in a relationship for Krishna, like this. I think Prabhupada wanted to make sure that we spent a minimum time with the holy name, 16 rounds. Mahaprabhu had said, this is not so much Prabhupada's statement, he said he wouldn't accept any offering of food from someone who didn't chant 64 rounds a day. 16 is nothing. If you can have the priority to do that. Now in old times, life was not so fast as it is now. It was not so difficult to get your maintenance. That is always what I find out in Vrindavan. Do you know what I have noted in Vrindavan? You can always eat. Everyone always eats there. Without, you know, that is just, you are at home. You don't have to worry. You know, people give everything. That's a culture of giving. There's always enough. I even ask Grihasthas, when they cook, they always cook extra for the guests who come uninvited. And you know, Vrindavan, the problem is not, do you get enough to eat? The problem is, will you be stuffed until you are dead with food, you know? And it's a poor country, so to say. They say beyond the poverty level. But no, if that's a material estimation of today's society, there's everything is there because the heart is open to give. Why did I go there? Mahaprabhu said 64 rounds. Prabhupada reduced it out of practical reasons to 16. It's not something which Prabhupada invented, so to say. It's something which is a reduced quantum from Mahaprabhu's time to make sure that everyone spends time with the holy name. You know, I have one problem, one question. My question is, I have two answers. What if there is a 24-hour kirtan and I'm spending 12 hours in kirtan? Do I then have to chant my 16 rounds? I do it because I don't know better. But I have this question in my mind. Of course, I promised, well, in a way, I have promised at the time of initiation 16 rounds on my beads. That's the promise. That's the brata. So there shouldn't be any question. But I'm thinking now of a time when it's really like you're really in organizing a kirtan mela and you have to be there so that, because when you're not there, everyone sneaks out of the room, you know, and it's not like that. I'm joking. I'm very unimportant person, but Prabhupada said, if you can't chant your rounds, make them up. And I have had days like this where I made them up the next day or the so on. The idea here is do japa properly. Don't do it like, oh, I have to do it. Oh, when will this torture ever end? Krishna, Krishna. Oh, no. Why did I make this promise? they just give me a guilt trip by this. You know, and so, no, you should think, Krishna, for so many long years in this material world, I have forgotten you. From today on, I am your sincere service. Please accept me in your service. I'm doing this for service. That's the best I can answer. But it's a good question. Mahaprabhu is not known as the Lord of Japa. He's known as the Lord of Kirtan. But he himself said he will only eat from someone. This is more his close people who chant. Mahaprabhu himself chanted. His beads, when he was Avaduta, you know, not Avaduta, when he was always in ecstasy, bee bags wouldn't stick to him. He was always dancing. So he had around the waist a thread, and there he had, it was knotted, a knot, and he counted while he was chanting. Mahaprabhu, yes, Gauranga Mahaprabhu did this. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu, there is a song by Vasu Ghosh. Vasu Ghosh is one of his singers, Kirtan singers, very ecstatic singer, who speaks about Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He says he's sitting under a tree and he chants the holy name with japa, in japa, and tears roll down his eyes. He sings a song like this. I found it just... It's there. It's available. I want to put it on my Facebook page. It's such a good song. He gave the example. When you would visit Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Philippe, the devotees around Mahaprabhu who were associating with him would either sing soft kirtan, or they would talk about Krishna or do japa. This is how it is described by eyewitnesses. It was a very, very ecstatic group of devotees. And I believe that they were doing this from morning till evening, and they didn't sleep a lot. You know, the Goswamis slept 2 hours, not more, not less. Well, often less. And they were always absorbed in the ocean of Bhakti Rasa. These are our role models. This is our example. And in the journey of our life, I think we should all think of coming there one day. Ask yourself, my dear devotees, what should be your ultimate priority? Is it so important that you take care of this and that and the other thing? Maybe it is important to some degree, for some phase in your life. But where would you like your life to ultimately end? You should not forget that. Do you want to be a popular photographer whose photos are in the National Geographic magazine? Is that the goal of your life, or is it only a station which you pass through as you establish your grihastha ashram, you know? You should think like this. What is my ultimate goal in life? And you should already now make some arrangements and adjustments so that you will reach there. Is my ultimate goal in life really to earn money? Is my ultimate goal of life to excel in a certain material activity? Is that important? Will that help me? I think the ultimate goal in life are these moments in bhakti. Like yesterday we spoke about this beautiful prayer of Varunadev, who said he's the richest man in the universe. Varunadev owns all the pearls and the jewels and everything else, the lord of wealth. Kuvera is his treasure. And he meets Krishna in his kingdom and he says, "My lord, now where I have had your darshan, my useless material body has reached its goal. Because seeing your lotus feet frees me from the cycle of birth and death. Wells can't do that for you. There is one verse in the Bhagavatam, which I will say to end this section, because I notice some of you are getting a little restless because it's so long. There is one verse in the Bhagavatam which talks about intelligence, and it says, the supreme intelligence is when you use your temporary body in the acts of bhakti yoga to attain the eternal kingdom of God. Wonderful. And the example, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur says, that person is considered to be intelligent who gives one coin and receives 1 million coins in return. A very intelligent businessman. Only one coin investment, 1 million gold coins come back. And he says, by just engaging ourselves in the acts of bhakti, we obtain Krishna with his priceless ornaments and his crown. By using our temporary material bodies, by using their temporary material bodies, Ishwarapuri, are you still thinking or are you listening? By using our temporary material bodies, you are actually able to gain the eternal personality of Godhead. This is supreme intelligence if you do this. It's an interesting. So what I want to say in answer to Philippa's question is, set your priorities right. At that time when you are clear about your priorities, it makes sense to chant 16 ecstatic rounds. If you don't have this priority, it becomes difficult. Therefore, the first act in cultivating bhakti is to develop faith and determination for that this rare and priceless goal. Imagine, Philip, the ornaments of Krishna. No one can. This is priceless. And his crown, woohoo! So priceless. Everything you can get, you can when you embrace him. This Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is very. He says, anyone who knows this verse, you know what is the supreme intelligence, shines forth in the assembly of Vaishnavas. If you know this and you act by this, you will be glorious in the assembly of Vaishnavas. It will appear, this verse comes in the new book, Broken Names. You can then get it there, and then you can look up the purports if you want to research this verse a little bit more. Good. Are you? I want to now talk about a few practical things. First of all, I want to talk about money. Hare Krishna. I have just done this to wake you up again. I want to talk about Lakshmi and donations which are kindly given to our Sharanagati team. I feel it is. I'm not so good in writing letters, but there are many of you who support the Sharanagati team and my preaching efforts with the regular donations. I want to say, because a question has come up, how is this Lakshmi spent? I have at the moment three people in my, we are four, but three except for me, in my Sharanagati team. And they travel sometimes, they do services, some of them travel more often. Like Sharanga is coming everywhere with the harmonium. Banu Nandini is traveling also to assist with the presentations. There's a lot of active learning, computer work and all by now. Then there is my other member. I have made a very careful arrangement in my life that these devotees are supported by individual devotees who are giving Lakshmi just for these people and these devotees and their expenses. When you give a donation to the Sharanagati team, you don't support these members, but you support the different activities, like for instance the broken names, which we will now give to you, you know, the books, many things which we do to upkeep our preaching. The individual members are supported by devotees who are close to these members and want to support their service. This is very important for me because transparency is important. I once made a donation which, a mistake, with a donation which I regret. It was, I took Lakshmi, which was meant for Prabhupada's book trust to give to the BBT, and I thought I'm distributing, and I took this money to buy a new pair of boots for the winter. And afterwards I felt I had done a mistake because someone had given me the Lakshmi for another purpose. Now when I need boots, I ask people, can you give me new boots? I have learned that from there, because I have learned that Lakshmi stops coming if you are not very careful with each penny. This is something I wanted to say because this question has come up in an informative way, and I wanted to just say this. Another thing is CD. There is a few productions which we have offered. First is a Sacred Space CD. I'm very happy with this. Ishvara Puri, are you thinking of your service? Or yes, good. It doesn't mean it's bad if a child cries. It is a need which needs to be taken care of by the grown-ups. So again, yes, so I have produced a few things which I would love so much to share with you. There is a Sacred Space CD, which offers some Krishna conscious meditations. Sometimes maybe even devotees like to be a little bit at peace. It's mostly produced for the outside world, but these are meditations on the Gita. If you like to listen what we do and how we preach, please look into this. We have maybe a table, we will have a table. Oh God, this was encouraging. Brooke is there. Brooke said yes, this book will do everything. There will be a new book which is, we might have to charge you 2 or 3 euros for this, because we are a little poor at the moment. Kali Yuga, everything is so expensive, you know. But it's if you can't buy it because you are really not able, it's a present. I really wish you to read it. It's my birthday present to you. It's called, that book is there. Then a new thing which has happened is the Tree of Life. Finally, after working with Gadadha strictly like for 10 years on a concept by which we could bring Krishna consciousness to the outside world, I found a very interesting formula which will inform our work, Sattva, Dharma, Atma, Paramatma and Bhakti. And this year I request all of your kindness. I need to write this because so many devotees want to have this from us and want to preach like this, that I will stay longer than usual in the Gaura Bhavan near the Dharma castle. I will stay longer than usual. I will not travel so much this year to just finish this for the service of the devotees. I think it's very, very important. I was very encouraged because I presented a book which is part of the whole life school, the whole Vedic way. It's called The Tree of Life and Spiritual Counseling in England. and there were teachers from schools. There were, and one person I really respect. He has written a well-selling book on Dharma in the for the secular world. And he said to me he had read so many books on these on subjects like, you know, getting your life together and so on. But he said this was the most practical approach. I felt very, very validated for this hard work of research and writing. And it's called The Tree of Life. It's at the moment a workbook, but in April, when we return from India, I want to finish it and make it into a real book, something respectable. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Otherwise, I think we are connected to the Sharanagati newsletter, and that's a free service we offer, and the Amrita training letters and the website to stay in contact. Please let us stay in contact as much as humanly possible. Also, I'm discussing at the moment with Gadadhar, who's here, and please have the association of wonderful Gadadhar. You will just, oh, Gadadhar. We are talking about some very, very exciting plans, but we want to do this first and then show you all. Things of providing, giving a very exciting offer to the world so that they can benefit and health and spirituality, like the what we can represent, and we want to combine that. And you will certainly hear about this. So, Hare Krishna. What should we do now? Should we sing a little? Good.